Praise the Lord. How many know that it is good to be back with the family of God? Come on, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. So glad to have you join us as well, those that are online and those that are taking the precautions. But we're grateful that we are gathered together around Jesus. Do you all remember in last year's series when we talked about what is church? Church is to be gathered around Jesus. What is church? To be gathered around Jesus. Amen. So likewise does it symbolize in our own icon and our brand here is that the cross represents the one and those around it represents the every. So we believe we are everyone one and we are one in the spirit. Scripture actually says he who is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Somebody say amen. It is also in John 17 that Jesus prays for us to be one as he and the Father are one. Make them one that we might be one in them. Jesus has this massive idea that we should be one. Turn to your neighbor and say, we are one. Glory to God. Amen. Praise Jesus. Some of you all have been concerned. You all understood that I have experienced coronavirus, but I want you to be relieved and to be at rest about that. I'll talk about that later. But for right now, please understand this. Pastor Turan only experienced two minor symptoms on two minor days. I mean, by the time they got back to me with the positive test, I was already well. I was already taking care of things. I was already being back to energetic me. Somebody say amen. I say, oh, yeah, that's cool. Got it. You know what I'm saying? Let's move on, right? And I just want you to know, thank you for your prayers and your care. But I want you to know Pastor as well. Hey, let's jump into this real quickly. I'm very excited about today's word hopefully you can join along with me. I want you to take a look at this and we're going to kind of talk about it and discuss it a little bit. And that's this word audacious. The word of the Lord came to me saying audacious, right? Audacious. And so I began to write it down and think about it and meditate it and ponder it and mutter it. That's what the word meditate means in the Hebrew, is to mutter it, to say it just above your voice. And I began to meditate it and think about it a little bit. And so right now, with those that you came with, or if you're by yourself or so, if you would look at somebody that's near you 6 feet away, I want to give you 1 minute and I want you to discuss with one another, what does audacious mean to you? Listen, no, don't pull out your phone. I didn't ask you to do that. Amen. I didn't tell you to let Google tell you. I said, no, what does it mean to you? Not the dictionary version, but just what does the word audacious mean to you? Let's do so right around 1 minute. I want you that's online to put that in a chat right now. What does audacious mean to you? I hope that I can look later on the video and see some answers. What does audacious mean to you? Find somebody, talk to. There's Jennifer, somebody. What does audacious mean? That's the intelligent Stevens group. Oh, that's a fine looking young man right there. How are you doing, man of God? I might have heard about you. I look for you. I think so. See, that's a good thing. You're handsome. Love it. Praise Jesus. All right. All right, let's take a look. Let's see what we got going over here. What did Daniels come up with? The Daniel men's over there. What was audacious to you all? Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Everybody say ridiculous. Are y'all with me? Ridiculous, right? You know I always am going to ask that basketball, volleyball team section, right? That whole family right there. So give us an answer. I saw you nudge her. Suppose I would have asked you. What's audacious to you all? What did y'all discuss? Okay, outrageous and what else?
Unexpected.
Unexpected, that's good. Mother Weiskopf, what do you think about?
Beyond measure.
Beyond measure. Come on, what the Reynolds say?
Bold.
Bold, all right. Everybody say audacious.
Audacious.
You know, I will tell you a story about this later in the message, but this right here, this is called a Siberian iris, and the question is how audacious. Say how audacious. You've heard what some of you all have come up with and what you thought about the word audacious and what it means. And so the real question we want to deal with today is how audacious, right? Here, let's take a look at some definitions. The definition means showing a willingness to take surprisingly bold risk. The word audacious means to showing a willingness, a what? To take surprisingly bold risks. Audacious means extremely original without restriction to prior ideas. Audacious means to be highly inventive. Are you with me? Got a little scholar right there. I know you always are a student, and even though you are in upper degrees. Listen, audacious means, I want you to catch this, this is important. Having the bravery to do something that could offend others. Isn't that good? I don't mind that. I hear that, some of y'all go, right? I want you to think about that. Having the bravery to do something that could what? How many know some of us shriek back on things because we are more concerned about what people think about us? I'm preaching already, amen? How many know, and especially the younger you are, the more you're concerned about it. How many know 30-somethings are really concerned about what their peers say about them, right? What is the Joneses and the Smiths doing? Are you with me? People that are in their 20s, they show enough looking around, right? They looking at themselves and looking around. Are you with me? By the time you talk about teens, they looking at everybody, amen? And the people on social media too, right? Because we have tendencies to be concerned about what others are doing, which would inhibit us from being unique. That's a good teaching right there. Be audacious. Being audacious means being bold enough to trust God's word for you and your life. Read that with me. Being audacious means being bold enough to trust God's word for you and your life. Amen? So when we talk about being audacious, the adjective audacious comes from the Latin word audacia, and it means daring, boldness, courage. To be audacious, you've got to be courageous, right? To be audacious, it means to be disposed to venture or take risks. To be audacious means to be unrestrained by convention or propriety. I think this should really line up to who you are designed to be unique. How many know you're not like anybody else on the planet? Jesus Christ, God, breathed into you the breath of life and you became a living being unique to anyone else. Even twins can be identical, but they're not identical. Are you with me? You see, audacious means to be invulnerable to fear. Somebody ought to just shout it right there and did a little dance. It means to be invulnerable to fear or intimidation. Is anybody starting to hunger it a little bit? God wants us to be audacious. Audacious, this is like an explanation about the word audacious when you look at the vocabulary of it. Audacious often gets applied in situations where someone does something pretty unusual. It means to do things that's pretty unusual. Pretty what? Unusual. Oh, we're going somewhere, and I want to find out if you're going to be with me. You see, audacious means is very bold. If you are audacious, you are daring and unconventional. In other words, nobody can put you or lock you in a box. Somebody can't put you in a cookie cutter. Somebody can't say, nope, you're just like. No, I'm not. Are you with me? I'm not sure why y'all getting so quiet. Way to go, Sister Jan. You'll preach with me. Amen. Audacious can also mean challenging conventions and doing things that most people don't do. Doing things that most people don't do. In other words, to live out an audacious life means that you don't go with the crowd. To be audacious means you're not hung up and caught up with the multitudes and what they're doing because you know that God has an assignment or something that uniquely and creatively is divinely inspired about being who you are. Glory to Jesus. And in order to fulfill that, which is your best you, you have got to be audacious, courageous, taking risk, doing things others are not doing. Glory to God. So what we're talking about is being audacious about healing. To be audacious about healing. We are audacious about healing. Somebody say amen. Praise God. Even the very silhouette of those people caused some people to be uncomfortable. I know some of us are on another end of the spectrum. Bring them here. I'll lay my hands on them. But we all need to be unified and on one accord that what does it mean to be audacious and us to fulfill the total call of all of us. Somebody say amen. There's three different people there There's two laying hands. There's one with their hands elevated unto the Lord, not touching anything. There's one that's kneeled down, hands crossed, surrendering unto God, like the song. Why sing it if we're not going to do it? It's a universal around the world. I surrender. Somebody say amen. Audacious about healing. Can I get you to say that with me? Audacious about healing. Can I get you to make a little commitment? Turn to somebody, look at them into their beautiful eyes and say, audacious about healing. Audacious about healing. Can I tell you why we want to be audacious about healing? It's because Jesus was. Jesus was audacious about healing. It did not matter if Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, laws, whoever. He would do it on the Sabbath. He would do it in a crowd. He would do it at home. He would do it in a house. He would do it in a village. I mean, they might, like Pastor Carr just waxed the word last week, they'll lower somebody down in the middle of the roof and he'll heal. Nothing stopped Jesus from being audacious about healing. Let me share something with you right now. You don't have to wait till you're sick to be audacious about it. If you're already audacious about it before you get a hangnail, your hangnail will be fine because you already had learned to receive God's power already. Audacious. Glory to God. Jesus was audacious. Look at him. Fixed upon this person. Hands laid upon him. Operating with who he was in his created call. Somebody say amen. But as Jesus is, so are we in this world. Is everybody with me? You see, what I want to pull your attention into is that the way of Jesus. The way of who? Jesus. Say it again. The way of who?
Jesus.
The reason we're saying the way of Jesus is because Jesus lived this way. And if that's the way Jesus lived, then that's the way we are to live. Glory to God. So therefore, just as this man of God, which I have actually been in services and seen this happen, where a man of God came out of his wheelchair. I've been a part of that. One of the times me and my wife, I used to work at FedEx Express, and it was a special service that was all the way in Kansas City one time, and I got off just in time for us to hop in the car, put the children in there, and they was, you know, young ages, you know, like some of the children there, and all of a sudden we took off to Kansas City. 4-hour drive, 3.5-hour drive, we get there, find a parking place, we rush into the auditorium, and as we're walking in, there was a man that was being rolled in on a wheelchair. Literally, we're outside walking, and he's rolled into the wheelchair, into the service. And we sat up on this little balcony or whatever, and my children were little, you know. And after the service or during the service, and they were praying for people, and they're praying for people to walk and to be healed, literally right coming right before us, the person we watched wheeled in was walking like that. And my children pointed to each other. They said, look, Daddy. You see, I've seen it happen. I've been a literal witness. You see, it'd be different if they was staged, and I'll talk about that later. We walked in with them, but we walked out with them. Jesus. We see this group of men laying hands and praying for the needs of whatever might be going on in somebody's life. As Jesus is, so are we in this world. I love these young ladies out in the middle of the street. You can't see it in there, but the bus is going down the street. My God. And they're laying hands and praying for this young man or whatever's going on in his life. And I like that it's even multi-ethnic as they're going for the things of God. Because this is being audacious. You see, they could be concerned about the pedestrians that's walking down the sidewalk. But this is when you don't care about who's around. You're not called to the rest of them. You're called to the one God puts in front of you. And you want to be able to fulfill what Jesus put in us. Glory to God. Right here, you see, though, I want you to make sure you hear something. The other pictures indicate physical healing. And I know many of us quickly gravitate over to, but what about inner healing? Yes. You see right there, that man is dealing with a mental health issue. That man is dealing with an anxiety and a stress, a broken greatness of something going on in his life. And the picture below shows that how many of you know that the Holy Spirit anointed Jesus Christ to heal the brokenhearted? There are those whose hearts are stiff and hardened, just like in a physical heart, as it's losing its sense of blood and flow, and things have clogged it up with bitterness and resentment and hurts and harms, and somebody abused and traumatized and left me and rejected me and did things against me and toward me, left me out, called it quits, mad at me, mom and dad, grandmama, aunt and them, they talked about me. We have heart issues and Band-Aids won't do. And it doesn't matter how long it's been. The man at the well was 38 years. The woman with the issue of blood, 10 years. It doesn't matter how long. Wherever you hurt, Jesus still heals. Glory to God. Glory to God. I don't know where I might remember this in the message, so I'll share it here. God brought it into my remembrance, and I recall during first service. You see, some of us think that we've done with it and tolerated for so long that that's just the way it is. Some of us have dealt with certain things, injuries, maybe even to our physical body through sports or whatever, and we've had it going on for so long, we thought, oh, that's just like normal. I'll tell you one thing I did. Well into my 20s, well, might be longer than that, might be into my 30s or 40s, but for a long time, definitely I can remember some situations in my 20s for sure, that I used to think that everybody had digestive issues. I used to think everybody, you know, without trying to be too gross, had loose bowels. Are you with me? I thought it was normal that people have cramps for 3 or 4 times a month, and that in that situation, you just have to deal with it. I thought that was normal for people to carry little pills around and take them so you can be okay. One of the things I used to think was, if I was eating breakfast with you and we was, you know, wherever, and you got pancakes and orange juice, if you poured syrup on your pancakes and drank orange juice, I'd be like, no, you can't do that. You're going to get sick. I thought it was normal because I had tolerated for 20, 30 years that I thought it was normal. Are you hearing me? It was only since the year 2005 that I no longer have that digestive problem. It's only when I accepted and received the healing that, no, this was not normal. I can eat orange juice. I can drink orange juice, eat pancakes until it doesn't matter anymore because I don't have that problem anymore. We're talking about going for something that might be 20 or 30 years, but when Jesus makes you free, it doesn't matter anymore. But pour me an orange juice. Glory to God. I'm trying to tell you, whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're going through, you don't have to anymore. Be audacious. Be what? Be audacious. This is save the world, number 16. This is save the world, number 16. Audacious about healing. And this is our formal introduction to Everyone Heals. Everyone Heals. Say that with me. Everyone Heals. As you can see, this is designed and purposed to be a part of our branding of our values. Just like everyone won, just like everyone prays, everyone plays. But we believe that everyone heals. And the only way we're going to live in the manifestation of it is to be audacious. I could do the benediction right now because that was the message. In order for us to live out everyone heals, we're going to have to be. Two of us are going to do it. Amen. In order for us to live out that everyone heals, we have to be what?
Audacious.
Audacious. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Only because I know that good preaching has to be repeating. I want to get this part out now and just kind of give you a little further scoot closer on your seat. At the edge of your seat of what we're talking about and what we're doing, is this particular subject. I believe today, even the title, Everyone Heals, is designed to challenge some of our doctrine, to challenge what you've been taught, to challenge what you might believe, to even challenge because some of us have tried to pray for healing and it didn't work. We know people who we've prayed for our loved ones, and I want to be sensitive, that we prayed for them, fasted for them, prayed over tongues, laid hands on them, poured oil on them, and they still passed. And because of those hurt circumstances, because something seemed like it didn't go that way, then we say it don't work. But we cannot, what the challenge is, we cannot change our beliefs. We cannot change doctrine. We can't make up theology of why something did not happen when what we're supposed to do is to follow after Jesus where everyone was healed. Glory to God. So I am going to prayerfully take us word by word of why Jesus healed everyone. Because everyone heals. Somebody say amen. In Matthew chapter 4, I'm sorry, I'll take a second to get there. If you are online, go ahead and make sure this is one of the passages that won't be on the screens. Most of them will be. From the New King James Version of the Bible, I want to read starting in verse 23. It says this. It's actually 23 and 24, not 22. So at 23, it says this. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among them. Then, verse 24, then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who had been demon-possessed, epileptics, other translation says those that had seizures, and there's been people in our body that have had seizures, one of which was Brother Mike, who's on our soundboard, when in his earlier years would experience seizures, and paralytics, and he healed them. Jesus healed them. Everybody see that? Jesus what? The ministry of Jesus, he went around teaching, preaching, and healing. And the following verses that epileptics, paralyzed, people that had all kinds of things were there and he healed them. Jesus did what? He healed them. Praise God. I need us to do this and read that because of this. Here's this first point. The audacity to believe. The audacity to what? Believe. Watch this. Don't turn there. You'll read it on the screen. John chapter 6, verse 27 says, but don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval. They replied, we want to perform God's works too. What should we do? Isn't that the question we ask? What should we do? What should we what? Jesus told them, doesn't matter what your age is, the youngest in here to the oldest in here, listen, and online, Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent. Do what? Believe in the one he has sent. I know some of us think that that's way too easy. Jesus said it's the only thing that he needs of us. Is to what? So therefore, we have to have the audacity to what? To believe. Here's a quote about audacious. Mark Batterson, a wonderful man of God and pastor, says this. It is absolutely imperative at the outset that you come to terms with the simple yet life-changing truth. God is for you. That's a shouting point right there. God is for you. If you don't believe that, then you'll pray small, timid prayers. If you do believe it, then you'll pray big, audacious prayers. Glory to Jesus. Audacity to receive the word as infallible and inerrant. I want to stop right now. Listen. If we really believe that the word of God would give us life, how many of you know you would spend more time in the word than you do on Snap It, Chat It? There would be the first place you would go is to be at the book to see his face rather than the Facebook.
I am saying to you, you are proving by your actions what you believe. Glory to God. One pastor said that he had to put his phone somewhere else because when he woke up in the morning, he would go to his phone to check who has texted him or check what messages or what likes he got rather than going to God or even his wife. Come on, somebody. Got quiet right up in that section right there. Up in the Facebook section, just got, because people stopped looking away. They start, you know how you start. Look at this. The Bible says in John 6 and 63. I'm sorry, listen. We have got to believe. We got to what?
Believe.
That the Word of God doesn't have an error. That it is infallible. It is not man-made. It is the breath of God. The Holy Spirit wrote the Word of God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So Jesus says this in John 6 and 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Jesus' word is spirit and what?
Life.
He goes on to say later on in that chapter, John 6 and 67 says this. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We have come to believe and we know that you are the Christ. We know that you are the Son of God. Right now in this room, and just looking at those that are gathered with us in attendance and maybe online, I know that there are people in this room that have a torn place of even knowing if God is real. Or how does he function and work in my life? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Only believe. Find your actions to read. I'll talk about that later. The audacity to believe a pure heart and motives. I want to say in brief, and I'll talk about this in the next couple of weeks, we are not attempting to talk about healing because I understand in the 21st century we got all kinds of false prophets and people doing things for money and TV. Nothing wrong with being on TV, but TV evangelists asking for money if you do this. I want you to know all those types of things exist, and they create a type of skepticism and doubt in us on if this is real or not. But I want you to understand, you're talking about Terrance C. Smith. You can come over to my house. Look, you get too close, my breath stink. You can't smell it during the breath. I'm a real, genuine human, work just like you, talk like you. I want you to understand, this is somebody touchable, tangible. I'm not doing this for some show. I'm doing this because Jesus Christ healed everyone, and I want the world to know that you too can be healed. Glory to God. The scripture says in Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The pure in what?
Heart.
The pure in what?
Heart.
Shall see what?
Heart.
So look at these three things for the rest of this message. We are impelling, we are compelling you. Before we go further, you're going to be asked to believe. To believe that the word of God is true. And that you are going to believe with a pure heart. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Can I challenge you to do that right now, to believe that the word of God is infallible, that it is inerrant, that it makes sense today. It's not an old book. It gives life today, and you do it with a pure heart. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Turn your Bibles to Psalms 103. Please, if you will, electronically. If you do have the app, if you don't have an app, we've got some good recommendations on which app to get, good Bible apps to use, so that you can always have a bunch of translations and scriptures right in front of you at all times in your phone. Amen? Right now, we're in Psalms 103, and we're going to read verses 1 through 7, but I want to show you some notes on one verse. Psalms 103, look at this. Bless the Lord, starting in verse 1, 1 to 7. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Forget not all of his what?
Benefits.
Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. Glory to God. Amen. I want you to keep your eyes fixed upon verse 3. Actually, I'll put it on the screen if you will. Follow along with me. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says this about salvation. Think about this as it relates to sozo, soteria. Those are the Greek words. One means save, one means salvation. Do we still believe these? Psalms 103, verse 3 says this. Who forgives all your iniquities, which means sins. Who heals all your what? Heals all your what? Now look at that note below it. Please, I hope you can catch this online as well. We still believe that God forgives all of our sins. Is that right? Don't we believe that? We believe that, and we do it almost like it's easy. We believe it because it's a part of God. We believe it because it's a part of salvation. Many of us believe that when we pass even from this life, we will be forevermore in the presence of Jesus in heaven. We actually found it on those beliefs. Are you with me? We believe that I was a sinner. We believe that I hurt other people's lives and I hurt my own life. And I came into Jesus and he literally cleansed me from all unrighteousness and he's forgiven me of the wrongs that I've done. But if we still believe that, I want y'all to see something. It's the same verse. Anna, it's the same verse. Carrie, Bernadette, Lance, it's the same verse. Look, then don't we still believe God heals what? All our diseases. That's what the scripture says. We still believe God heals what? All. It's not the ones just that can be fixed with Advil. Jesus heals what? All of our sicknesses. He forgives us of our what? Sins, and he heals us of our sicknesses. Somebody say amen. Praise God. So this is where an ultimate challenge begins, because this today is a formal introduction to everyone heals. Say that with me. Everyone heals. Everyone what?
Heals.
Everyone heals. You see, even almost get that off of your lips and you dare not tell somebody like your sister or brother at home. I don't know if you can go even tell your mom. What do you preach about? That everyone gets healed. Get out of that church. You're going to have to be audacious. But even if for those that are students of the word, I've already put a massive challenge out to you. If you are willing to believe the word of God, I am designed to irritate, agitate, stir up what you really believe. Amen. Pastor Jeremy did everything he could to tell you some hints that you was going to walk out of here pushed out the nest. He tried to be poetic. He tried to go back to children's rhymes about it. But you're about to get pushed out of that theology that you have, because we either have bad experiences or bad teaching. But we want to have a renewed mind and be transformed to the word of truth. Amen. Say everyone heals. I want to say it again, just in case it's not understandable. Do we still see some of our loved ones die today? Yes. Do we still see that we prayed and whatever the illness kept going? And how many know some of us have grown weary and faint, so we stopped praying, but God didn't stop healing? The point is, we want to always still stay with the word. We want to know that in this world we will have trials and tribulations, but don't be afraid. Don't be non-audacious, for Jesus says, I have overcome the world. Say everyone heals. You don't need to look these up. You write them down. Why the audacity that everyone heals? Because of Matthew chapter 12, verse 15. Watch this. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them.
All.
He healed them what?
All.
I'm trying to rile you up. He healed them what?
All.
You don't believe it yet. Why the audacity that everyone heals? Matthew 14, 14. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. What did Jesus do? He healed their
sick.
He healed their sick. Matthew chapter 15, you'll love this passage. Why the audacity that everyone heals? Because we believe more the word than we do see in the world. Matthew 15, 30. A vast crowd brought to him people who were lame, blind, crippled, those who couldn't speak, and many others. They laid them before Jesus, and he healed them all. The crowd was amazed. Those who hadn't been able to speak were talking, and crippled were made well. The lame were walking, and the blind could see again. And they praised the God of Israel. Why? Because he healed them what? He healed them what?
Oh.
Come on, somebody. Matthew chapter 19, verse 1 and 2. Look at this. So you're asking the question, why the audacity that everyone heals? Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these sayings that he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. And great multitudes followed him. And he healed them there. He healed them where? I want you to see something in that verse there. Look at this. You see that the multitudes followed him? Everybody see that? And I like to make this small point. You see, unfortunately, because we have so many instamatic, microwavable things today, how many of you know we expect to be served? Notice that we expect Jesus to come to us. The Bible says right here, and they followed him. You see, when you want something, you go to it. When you desire something, I mean, some of y'all have woke up. Come on, now y'all tramp. Y'all playing with me. Some of y'all have woke up or went out at 11 o'clock. Ooh, hey, honey, go get that smoothie for us right quick before they close. Come on. Well, drive over there and get me a, I want a cappuccino. How many know we go for what we want? But how many of you know if you want to be healed, you want to be delivered, you want to be saved, you want to be following him? Because the Bible says he healed them where? There. Where is there? Where they followed him. Whoa! Mark chapter 3, verse 10. For he healed many. For he healed what? So that as many as had afflictions pressed about him to touch him. Look at the notes. He healed how many? Many who had what? They pressed to touch him. How many know it's the difference between those that can never go back? I've got a prayer going right now in my life that happened in April of 2016. I came to a new revelation of God. Matter of fact, it was about these things I'm teaching right now. And I said to myself, God had done so much work in my life, so many things. People were speaking and prophesying over me. They don't know me. Matter of fact, one was from New Zealand. She's prophesying over me. She doesn't know me at all. Pulling things out that was in the depths of who I was. Like, man, I didn't think anybody knew these things but God. Are you with me? And right there in the midst of it, one of my prayers was this: I'm not going to go back. I'm not going to go back to the way I was. I'm not going back. And I think some of us in here need to make up in our mind and our hearts, I'm not going back to the old. I'm not going to go back to the old. I'm not going to go back to the what? They pressed to touch him. You know what the difference is? A touch from Jesus. The difference is a what? A touch from Jesus. Look at Mark chapter 6. You're going to love this passage. After they had crossed the lake, they landed at Gennesaret. They brought the boat to shore and climbed out. The people recognized Jesus at once, and they ran. You see what about talking about with the following? They ran. You know what? There's going to be people pushing people over. Or maybe, I don't know, social distancing. pushing people over at Black Friday for a TV, for a power S589, whatever it is. How many of you know right now people online trying to get them an iPhone 12? We push people over for material things. I want to learn how to get out my way. Jesus, my Savior, the one who is able to heal me and make me whole, is worth my whole effort. Glory to Jesus. Glory to God. The Bible says he climbed out. The people recognized him. They ran throughout the whole area carrying sick people on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, in villages, cities, or the countryside, they brought the sick out to the marketplaces. They begged him to let the sick touch at least the fringe of his robe. And all who touched him were, all who touched him were what?
Healed.
Say all.
All.
How many?
All.
Everyone heals. Luke chapter 4, verse 40. As the sun went down that evening, people throughout the village brought sick family members to Jesus, family members. No matter what their diseases were, the touch of his hand healed everyone. It didn't matter what your family member had. It didn't matter if they had a heart disease. It didn't matter if they had a skin, or didn't matter if they had a thing that happened when they were little. And we've got a man of God who is dealing with a football injury. And we've got people that I know whose arms are still locked up. And some people, I remember having a headache 5 nights out of 7. Some people still don't sleep well. Some people wake up and back is still always hurting. Jesus doesn't want us to live in tolerating of things when we can be healed. Because everyone heals. Luke chapter 9, verse 11. But when the multitudes knew it, they followed him. And he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who had need of healing. He healed those who had need of what?
Healing.
Glory to God. Here's some quotes about audacious. You cannot live sheltered forever without being exposed, and at the same time be a spiritual adventurer. Some of us talking about, I want to just blow my mind with big dreams, but we won't step out. It says be audacious. Be crazy in your way, in your own way, with the madness in the eyes of man that is wisdom in the eyes of God. Take risk. Search and search again. Search everywhere, in every way. Do not let a single opportunity or a chance that life offers pass you by. And do not be petty and mean trying to drive a hard bargain. God wants us to be audacious. To reach an audacious goal, we sometimes benefit from having it lie just beyond our grasp. That's a good one to say, amen. I don't think you understand what that means. Listen, if it's always within your reach that you can do it, figure it out on your own, then you won't need God. You won't need faith. You will have no dependency upon the one who brings the miracle to pass. We have got to have things that we reach for. Glory to Jesus. I don't care if you're in middle school. You're dreaming for one day to do this, and God wants you to fulfill it. If you're in high school, you're dreaming that one day will I ever be able to get out of this. You're in a family that you might feel stuck in. We were with one of our members who was in a situation, just like I said, that because of the dysfunction in their lives, she thought it was normal. And it wasn't until she got to college that she realized that wasn't normal. God wants you to be set free. God wants you to be healed. God wants your heart to be forgiven. Glory to Jesus. Don't turn there. You'll show it on the screen. Matthew 8:14-17. The Bible says this. I want you to follow this. It's very important as we get ready to move towards this close. This is a major of audacious about healing. Right here. I want you to catch this for today especially. Starting at Matthew 8:14. Now, when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with coronavirus. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and served them. Somebody say amen. I want you to catch 16 and 17. Look at this. When evening had come, this follows that passage. This comes right after it. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with the word. With the what?
Word.
And he, the Bible says in Psalms 107, verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction, from their destructions. And he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all who were sick. He healed who?
All.
Who were sick. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, read that last two lines with me. Ready, set, read. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. Say it again. He took our what? And bore our
sickness.
And everybody said amen. I want you to know something about this passage of scripture. You can get ready, Peter. In this particular passage of scripture, I have been speaking this word, praying this word over people for multiple years. I mean, certainly more years than some of you all have been alive. And I have believed this passage of scripture, but however, I want to also share with you something about it. I had never actually read the scriptures and where this was from. I'd actually never done the research because I've never seen these verses in the Bible, but it said Isaiah said it. But I had never actually read it. Are you with me? And there was a reason why it was cloaked. It was hidden. It was in a mystery. I accepted it for being the word of God, but I didn't know where it was. That's why I love the word, because you never stop growing from reading and learning and having revelation from the scriptures, because it's the power of God to cause you to salvation. Can I get you to turn your Bible to Isaiah chapter 53? Isaiah 53. I want to tell you a little story to set up this passage. Many of you all know that I had coronavirus, but what you may or may not know, certainly ministers, prayer, and altar call team know, even as my lovely bride is on there watching us. I want you to know that I myself had two minor symptoms and two minor days. By the time they got to me about positive, I was already well. But Anna Maria, my bride, was experiencing 7 to 8 symptoms. And she was very discomforted in them. God's hand was upon her, and no major high fever, but she was discomforted. And as would be our custom, we have always been kind of taking communion on a regular basis anyway and reading the word of God. But one day and a couple of days in this period of quarantining, I turned to Isaiah 53. And I read it differently, what I call reading it like Pastor Turan. What's that? I read it slow, right? Sometimes I ask y'all to read, y'all like, it's like done. I'm like, that was the whole chapter? They're like, yeah. I was like, I'll read it myself, okay? So what I want you to do, even if you don't follow in the scriptures, I want you to just listen as I read this passage of scripture. As Anna and I leaned into it, Isaiah 53. Can I get you to open up your heart? Is anybody with me? How many of you can put your heart on something right now that you know either you or somebody needs to be healed? Somebody? Amen. Isaiah 53, and I'm going to read it from the New King James. It's okay if you close your eyes. Just don't fall asleep, but listen to this. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance. Nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised, and we did not even care. Yet, it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. But all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. Everybody said amen. I really want you to draw into this as prayerfully I read it, like a story, and like where you could see and visualize and see Jesus, this sacrificing and suffering servant. Hear me. What happened when I read it on this past week, or it was last week, is I'm telling you, I start thinking about me. I didn't think about you, because I don't want you to weigh this. I don't want you to wear it. But me, I thought, oh my God. I'm talking about still yet today. I think like that passage of scripture. You see, the part that gets me, it says that we wasn't even attracted to him. It's kind of like this. How many of you know, right now, even in here, and I'm not going by because you're down or out or whatever, or online and, you know, aloof and doing two things at once. I'm talking about like, Jesus. You see, it's like we look the other way, and that's me. Like, I don't need him. How many know we only need God when we need him? So, you know, it's like, he's not even attractive. The Bible says he wasn't even majestic. He didn't have anything. He didn't have a beautiful appearance. You see, he wasn't like the Flash, you know. He wasn't like, you know, coming in and buffed up. And no, he was just like, oh, man, he's common. Like, what can he do? And I believe in the 21st century today, some of us still think, unfortunately, like God is like, oh, yeah, he cool. He, yeah, you know, he's religious, you know. Oh, I go to church sometime, you know. I believe. But for me, I know that scripture describes me like, take him or leave him. Oh no, okay, God, I need something right quick. You know, my family. And my heart was humbled, because as we were taking communion, I had the bread and I had that cup, and I was like, man, this represents why he was broken for me. This is why he bled and shed blood for me, so that I could be forgiven and that I could be healed. Somebody say amen. Am I talking with anybody? Am I engaged? Am I at your coffee table? Am I sitting on your lounge? Anybody? I say this to us as I try to close this thought. You can call it what you like, categorize it, vivisect it, qualify, quantify, or dismiss it, and none of it will make grace anything other than precisely what grace is. Audacious, unwarranted, and unlimited. How many know God's grace is audacious? It's taking risk on us. The grace of God is courageous and boldly coming after us. God is sparing nothing. He doesn't care what people think about him. He wants to heal us. He wants to save us. His grace is chasing us down. His reckless love knows no end. He will climb a mountain. He will go in a valley. He'll walk in a bar. He'll come into a bedroom. He'll stop you wherever you are, that he will save you, heal you, deliver you. So be a risk taker. The Message Bible says this. He said, that's what I mean. Risk your life and get more than you ever dreamed of. Play it safe and end up holding the bag. You can bring the light. Nope, don't bring lights down. I told you I wanted to tell you a little story, and this is literally, I think, the second slide before the end here is. You see, say supernatural. I believe with all of my heart there are people that are very logical. They want everything to be in order. If you can't prove it, science it, give me it in my hand, you may not believe it. But I have every reason to believe that there are people that need a supernatural touch from God. You know why? Because when God touches you, you won't go back. When God touches you and comes into your life and with your tears and with what you had dire on your heart, and he shows up in an impossibility and makes it possible, you don't go back. Because when you have experienced the supernatural of God, you get more and more and more. And this was more than enough for me. You see, the little weird thing about this is, what in the world does flowers have to do with audacious? Don't you think that at least a little bit? They are beautiful. I want you to know the story. Short story behind this is, I had set up this keynote and had the right colors and all this, but two things happened. Number one, I had a vision. I had a what? I had a vision from the Holy Spirit of flowers. Bright, beautiful flowers. And it was like the picture and the theme I was supposed to use for the keynote. So I thought, God, I don't have any understanding. What does audacious have to do with flowers? So I just was obeying. Number two, right before I looked up the word audacious flowers or audacious colors of flowers, one of the things I did was I had this ready in red. And God moved me to change the colors to lavender and like a purplish color. I looked up the word audacious colored flowers, and this Siberian iris is actually a part of the name of the flower. How audacious. Somebody say amen. You say, Pastor, what does that have to do with anything? You see, if I didn't believe, I never would have taken a risk. If I didn't look it up online, it wouldn't have been me following God's Spirit. But because I did it and things showed up in a way that I didn't even know, no education on it, this flower is actually purple or lavender, like I was supposed to use the color before I got to the knowledge. God will give you things before you ever know it if you're willing to believe and trust and actually with a pure heart act upon it by faith. Somebody say amen. Stand to your feet. Keep the light on. Just like in the other service, Peter, you picked the song. Can you go to the next slide? Thank you. I got it. I believe the hour calls for moral grandeur and spiritual audacity. Spiritual what? I want everybody in here to know this. God's love is unconditional, unending, and unmistakable. You are God's beloved. You belong to God. You accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You become forgiven. And all accessibility to every healing is also yours. He forgives us of our sins and heals us from all of our sicknesses. No matter where you're sick, no matter where you're hurt, God wants to heal. Let's sing this for a little bit, and then we'll get ready to close. Peter. is who you are. Everybody, that is who you are. That is who you are. Say it out of your heart. That is who you are. That is who you are. Every eye closed. Even if you're watching online, whatever time you may be watching this, I would ask that you would close your eyes just so that you don't have distraction. It's not something more spiritual. It's just a natural place of focus. I love what Brother Peter said. He said, use your prophetic imagination that you might see the kingdom come and God's will being done on earth in your life. As it is in heaven. Let's make this clear. There's no illness, broken bones, hitches, heartaches, problems, pains in heaven. So may it be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want you to know, as you lift up your faith for a moment, many of you all know, some of you don't. But as you've heard, Anna Maria had coronavirus, but what you did not know is her sister. We've got a message on Tuesday that her dear sister was in the hospital with coronavirus. And we were able to do a video chat with her, and I'm telling you, it was hard. It was challenging to see her panting for every breath, not giving out more than two or three words without having to dig to breathe deeply. And I want to only just kind of wrap your heart around this thought and this visual by saying this. As soon as we hung up the phone, my bride, her sister, began to weep, tears wailing down her cheeks. And even when I was looking at her, I couldn't do it all right on the phone, but I saw the spirit of fear on her. The very next day on Wednesday, we got another report that she not only had coronavirus, but she had pneumonia, as well as strep throat. But the people of God in the family and the people of God in the kingdom began to pray for healing. Began to pray for what? And the word of the Lord came back. I want you to know on Thursday, the doctor comes in and says she is well, and they released her from the hospital on Thursday. Strep throat, pneumonia on Wednesday, corona. But I want you to know Jesus heals still today. On the same day, Thursday, Anna Maria's fever broke. No more headaches. No more Tylenol or Advil. She began to live in the freedoms of God. Somebody say amen. One last thing. Sister Veronica shared a message with us to pray for her cousin baby who had had surgery. And she put it just this straight. They had surgery, but he didn't wake up. A child didn't wake up. She sends out a message on Saturday after everyone prays and their family all around the country and Puerto Rico and everywhere praying. On Saturday, I think it was, a message comes out. His name was Finn. Finn woke up. Come on, somebody. Come on. I want to minister this to us now, and your eyes can go back closed again as this thought. I believe we're supposed to minister to hearts today. If you're online or if you're standing in here right now, I want to pray for hearts. But get this, God shared that we're supposed to pray for physical hearts as well as spiritual hearts. Physical hearts, if you have a stent, if you have a pacemaker, if your rhythm is off on your heart, or you've had a heart attack, or your family has a chronic passed down through generations of heart attacks, and people have died early in life or so, and we believe Jesus has died, rose again, that you would be freed from that. So if there's a physical heart issue or disease that you're familiar with, even if you have to stand in proxy for somebody, we're praying for physical hearts. We're praying for spiritual hearts. People's hearts have been broken and shattered so many times. You You can't put it back together again. You can't tape it up. You can't mask it. Jesus wants to mend and heal your heart. You've been dropped out of relationship, out of relationship, out of relationship. And now you're scared, or you're even thinking about an alternative of something else I can do where I can just keep myself safe. God, I ask right now in the name of Jesus, could I get you to lift up your hand if you are one of those people, either physical or spiritual heart? Just lift up your hands unto God. Thank you so much. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that this decree, you said, he who decrees a thing, it shall be established. The Hebrew word aman means to be established. It means to believe, to have faith, and to be established. Right now, God, we decree and we say aman. Lord, let this thing be established that you will make them whole. Father, every physical heart, any damaged heart, any heart attacks, anything that arteries are clogging up and it's unknown and it would end up being a surprise, God, I pray you come in and flush it out in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, that you would touch that heart and make it whole. Prevent heart attack, heart disease, that it would not be passed or exceed or received or experienced. And for those who have a heart that's been broken, Lord, we're asking that you put them back together again. Jesus, you still heal today, and you heal the brokenhearted. So for every heart that's under the sound of this voice, by the authority in us, be healed. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Let's give the Lord a big shout right now, if you would. And God, we are dismissed from this place. We'll see you next week. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.